Come in this room. Come touch me.
Oh, oh my God!
Touch. One of the five senses that helps guide us through our lives. It brings us warmth and comfort, like a newborn to their mother's chest. Or the pain and suffering until the very last moments death forces us to receive our final goodbyes. But what's after death? Is there the possibility of touch? If so, can we feel it? What does it mean when one is touched by these invisible forces, believed to be ghosts?
I think you're on the right path. I think you're at kind of a precipice where you can clearly show that humans have an experience that has an objective piece to it, which at the very least should get other scientists interested in looking at that question.
My whole research process is trying to bring in a more scientific basis.
People need to understand that this is not just your bells and whistles that you see on ghost hunting shows. This is real science.
This is a real thing that we're looking for.
It was here in D Block that changed everything for me and for you.
Hey, you in the corner here touching people. You around here? Really?
At the exact time that I was scratched, looking at the larger data set, you can see anomalies in the PIR and ultrasonic sensors. You can use that data to then create an animation showing what happened in approximate real time.
When dealing with the paranormal, you have to be prepared for just about anything when the spirits are truly the ones in charge. For the first time in history, our journey into this untapped realm has only just begun.
Welcome to Paranormal Gateway Hero Talk. I'm the Scott Wise, and tonight's guests are Ross Allison and Chad Gorman. Tonight you'll be talking about their latest experience proving the existence of supernatural physical contact, which led to a documentary based on this concept called Parasense, the Naked Experiments. They focused attention on physical aspects, ghosts actually touching and living. The struggle to prove this phenomena takes its crucial turn when real scientist and vendor Jack Gowen joins a team as they take naked subjects into the most haunted known for supernatural physical contact. For the first time in history, his encounter has been thoroughly investigated and exciting evidence has been discovered. So without further ado, let's welcome Ross and Chad to the show. Hey, here you are.
Yeah. Hey, hello.
Thanks for having us.
So, sure. Nice time. I should be him one because I see him do the experiment himself. I said, oh boy, you just dive right into it.
Yeah.
I really don't know if I can go that far. I would get that done by Skippy's, but I don't know. You know.
Yeah, no, I had to do it. You know, I had to make sure that I knew what we were looking for. So I got in there.
And it really does take unique individuals that are willing to get naked and, you know, hang out in a haunted place all alone, you know. So kudos to him.
Well,
I haven't done it yet.
I think if they'd be doing it, it may be a few shots, but you shouldn't be drinking on location, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Come, I might take that for me. Ross, just start off again. I know I had you on last time. You want to talk about your experience, like with the construction worker? You know,
what started this whole thing?
Yeah, it's good.
So the origins of Parasense is based off of a case that I was asked to investigate, where a young man was working in an old brothel. He was working upstairs. It's been abandoned since the 1930s. And he actually had something grope him when he was alone up there. And the sensation had happened a few times since. And so he reached out to me and told me about these experiences that he had had. And this is not the first time that I've ever been told or have been contacted about these types of encounters where, you know, people are touched in various different ways by ghosts. But to me, it's their personal experience. You know, how do you prove, you know, when you tell me you've been touched by ghosts, I have to take your word for it. And so it really got me thinking. It's like, okay, well, is there something we could do to validate these encounters that people are having? And so I searched and searched to try and come up with some, you know, experiments. So I wanted to find out if there had been somebody out there, you know, trying to prove touch, how did they do it? Looking for some sort of inspiration to help me with my goals. And to my surprise, no one had done this ever before. And so that got me down a whole unique path, trying to come up with, you know, these experiments, trying to, you know, validate, you know, these encounters. And it was interesting. I was coming across some interesting results, but nothing that was strong enough to put it out there to the public and say, hey, here's some proof that ghosts can touch people. I needed more. And, you know, and the public needs more. You know, if anybody wants to question the fact that this phenomena can happen, we needed more data to do that. And unfortunately, the technology wasn't there, or it wasn't used correctly, or, you know, put together in the proper way. So luckily, I had actually run into Chad. Chad had had me on one of his shows, and I'll let him take over his side of the story.
Yeah, so from my side, it was way more wild than this, right? Because I'm just living my life. We'd done a show. I had a podcast in it that was also on LPFM here, and called Community Science Radio. And we were doing a show on fear. And so we did that show with him. That was our first one. And then I had all these ideas. He showed me all the equipment that he was using. And then I had all these ideas. I'm like, oh, man, I could, like, wonder if we could put some of these things together and start, like, making... And I had some other ideas for listening. I don't know. I got nuts. Ross was like, let's do that. And then I like disappeared because I got busy, you know, with the life. Yes. And then later that year, we did a Halloween show. And so Ross does creepy stuff. So interviewed with him again. Same thing. Equipment. And then I didn't talk to him for, what was it, 3 years? Yeah, three years.
I think, yeah, and it was about 3 years.
Ross calls me up on the phone. And I'm like, Ross, hello? And Ross is like, hey.
Who's a stalker?
Yeah, right. How would you figure out or sense if somebody got touched by a ghost? And I came up with a couple of ideas, like off the top of my head. And he was like, well, I have this opportunity to shoot this show. And he's like, you know, would you like be interested in being a scientist? And I was like, yeah. And then he said, but here's the kick. The subjects are naked. And I was like, whoa. So we went, but you know, then he told me what was going on, and I went through the philosophy and the methodology with him and what he was doing. And then it started to make sense, and I got it and I understood it. And then I had to think about it because I'm a scientist. And then I, you know, if going after this, one thing about this area is, you know, is there's not a lot of scientists doing a lot of hard work, right? There's a lot of people doing work, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of like proper science being applied in this way. And so I was like, I'm in, I will do it.
Yeah. And a lot of it was too, you know, me and Chad were both on the same page. Our goals are both the same. You know, we just want to know what's going on out there. You know, we're not trying to say, yes, ghosts exist. Here's the proof. We're just trying to say, here's some interesting data. This is what we've collected. This could be something, you know. And one of the things, you know, to protect Chad is to make sure that we're doing this the right way.
That was one of the things I said right away was, you know, I'm a scientist. If we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. You know, there's not going to be any, like, I'm an inventor. I don't want people to think that, like, you know, so I was like, this has got to be legit. And he was like, that's what I want. And that's what really sold me in is when he said, that's what I want as well.
Yeah, we're not just, you know, putting out stuff out there just to get subscribers, you know, on our YouTube channel. This is the real deal. You know, if you want to have a better understanding of what it is that we are experiencing and what we can capture, you know, this is the path that you have to take. And so we wanted to show the audience the correct steps and not to be afraid of science. that you don't have to be afraid of. I always say of those ones and zeros. There is some, you know, knowledge there that we can learn from.
So, Ted, what do your like family, friends, and coworkers think of this?
Well, that's interesting. I think it's a shock to people. I didn't think I was going to be as comfortable doing it as I ended up being. And I think it was really about the curiosity. So Ross had taken me and showed me some locations, and he showed me some of his equipment and stuff. But that first time when we went out and filmed was like my first chance to really see how things go and be part of it. And I watched two other people have experiences, and I was like, I want to have an experience, because then I know what I'm looking for. Because in science, I either will have to know what I'm looking for or assume that I have some assumptions that allow me to find what I'm looking for, right? And so I didn't want to be assuming anything on this, and so I jumped in and did it.
And that's where we, as a society of paranormal investigators, are lucky to have somebody like Chad that was willing to put himself out there. For one, you know, of course, you know, people are going to judge his credibility, you know, as a scientist. Why are you doing this woo-woo stuff? And I think, you know, for him to at least show that he's trying to do it the right way, because unfortunately, most paranormal shows or people out there have done it half-ass or just, you know, in any way to, you know, get the attention from the audience, never doing it the right way. And don't get me started on a lot of the bad equipment out there that's used on a lot of these television shows. Right. That's right. A whole nother show we could do. we just really wanted to do it the right way. And I've always said, you know, we're lucky to have somebody like Chad who was willing to, you know, even step out of his comfort zone to understand what it is that we're trying to do as paranormal investigators.
All right, I think it's good to get the science in too. I mean,
It is. It's so important. And we're at a point where millions and millions of dollars are going into the paranormal field for entertainment purposes, but not going into the research element of it.
Or if it's that, there's not the principle, right? The scientific method's not being applied properly. There's a lot of people that have, you know, experiences, or you look for a light and you have some empirical evidence that something happened around you in the space that set off something that you saw, right? You saw it. But you can't really explain what happened. All you can say is I had a beep, or I had a light, or I had a noise happen at that moment. And so when it really comes down to it, those one piece of data points you can't put together. You have to put together thousands of them and look for stuff. And so when I went out with Ross on that first time and I got naked there, you know, he showed me his Spectre One, which was a laptop, and it had the stuff and the cords, and it was a lot for getting one stream of data, right? But it was better. It's better than like I saw a light turn on. And when I saw what he was working on and I saw the kind of results he was getting, I decided, you know, with my, I also, you know, I'm a computer programmer, electronics guy, I 3D printing, modeling. I took all those skills together. And then I was like, the one thing that we need more than anything is enormous amounts of data so that we can monitor things continuously and in every direction we can around these people. And then that's where it started clicking and turning on. And I'm like, okay, now how many things, you know, how many things can I actually put into the system? You know, and you got, and then we got Spectre. So we got an array of stuff that he was already using. I added the PIR, but it was already stuff that he was using. So that was the best point, because he'd already had found information. So I just picked up where he did. We did Spectre 2.0.
So you get the 360.
Right. Yeah. So by having the.
Yeah.
Oh, did he freeze up?
We were able to. We're good. We were able to track phenomena. No one's been able to track phenomena. We did
because we're taking sample rates, you know, of over 100 samples in sometimes in a second. So we're snapping as much samples, and we're going up as high as we can. And I still don't think we have enough resolution. I think I need to find faster systems to run on this stuff, because I think then we'd get, you know, we have jerky movement in our animation, but I want to know more smoothly what could be happening and direction. What direction are things moving? So there's some other things that we're going to add.
Yeah, because one of the things, as you know, Chad was saying, is we're learning that a lot of the equipment that ghost hunters are dependent on is not sensitive enough or even fast enough to pick up some of this phenomena. And if you think about it, it's energy. And energy, like a lightning bolt, is going to strike really fast. And that's what we think is happening sometimes, is sometimes it's so quick, and it just takes us longer to process that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the guys on my team, he does all kinds of stuff, you know, inventing kind of stuff. And he made a bionic gear that is actually here, like, I don't know, like 100 yards away, like whisper, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, that, I think there's a lot to that too. And maybe, you know, the really low subtones that we can't hear. I'm kind of interested in that kind of mm-hmm. in that range. And then also I'm really interested in the EVP. I was an audio engineer a long time ago, and knowing that you can get signals from the air, and you can get, there's static and this electromagnetic interference patterns. I really want to build something that, you know, looks at how EVP works. And if it really is something that's just completely only grabbed by the electronics. So there's stuff like that I want to look at.
Well, it's interesting, you know, that you bring that up, Chad, because EVPs were, you know, captured on analog tapes, you know, back in the mm-hmm. day when EVP came along. And then, of course, back we all transferred.
My day, too.
You know, I go old school as well. And it's interesting that we've completely now have transferred over to the digital era. And we've forgotten about film, and we've forgotten about, you know, the you know, analog tapes. And I kind of wonder if there's some, you know, evidence that we're missing out on, because those are two elements that are captured in totally different ways. They're not captured digitally like everything is today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think it's interesting. One time on one of the tours Ross gave me, in the early part of it, was there was the EVP was picking up, and they had some, their recorder with them, their digital recorder, right? And one of the things that if you have a cell phone next to it, it puts that interference ticking into the recorder, right? Mm-hmm. But what interested me about it was not only was it picking up that electromagnetic interference, but also when the EVP came through, it sounded like it was in the same range of tone, in the same, like it sounded like it was interacting. And then that's what got me on to the idea. I'm like, shit, how do we figure out exactly what that thing is? And that's one of my focuses I've been working on.
Yeah, and so many frequencies too that you go through. It just...
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the exciting thing about working with Chad is there's so many new doors that we get to open and test new things, because we don't have all the answers. And I think, you know, we've realized, you know, by just doing Parasense, we're still at the very beginning of the race. There's still so much more we need to do just to even, you know, try and validate some of the things that we've collected just with the first documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, between the baselines, we would go in and leave it running in and out of the space if people are there or not. And that's really to try to figure out if there's anything rhythmic that could be happening or interacting mm-hmm. with any of the electronics. And then we do the experiments. Between that and the experiments, we had 10 million data points or something to that effect for Parasense that I had to shift through, you know, because every minute is just taking just massive data points. So you're having to go through it all. You know, and it was pretty interesting. Some of the most evident stuff was like, it happened to us. So, you know, you can find it.
What's kind of amazing how far we've come in the last 15, 20 years with all the stuff we have now.
Oh yeah, like we were talking old school, you know, and just we were going from cameras, and then we slowly saw digital cameras come into the field. So it's technology moves very, very quickly. And I think, you know, we're getting to the point now that we can start to add more of that technology, especially as it becomes more and more affordable. You know, that was a big thing. A lot of the stuff that I wanted, you know, back in the day, I could never afford. You know, thermal cameras were, you know, $25,000. Now you can get one for, you know, $300.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice to have that technology more affordable and, you know, for easy for us to grasp. And hopefully, you know, especially with, you know, Chad and his talents, be able to put some of this stuff together and explore a lot more and collect, you know, different pieces of data.
Well, Ross, you had a bunch of experiments that you were doing before I even came on the scene. And a lot of those experiments are also pretty interesting to upgrade. I mean, you should talk about some of that.
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, is really great between me and Chad and how we work well together is because, as he was saying, you know, I come up with these, you know, kind of raw experiments, you know, as we've talked about in the documentary, The Puppet. You know, we kind of did a light introduction of that experiment where we take elastic string and we attach it to sensitive parts of the body, and then we stretch it out to different parts of the room. So you kind of like you're extending your nervous system into the room. And so if anything should move through these strings, hopefully you feel, you know, a vibration or a tug. And that's what was happening. We started to have those experiences where people would feel that. In fact, Chad has done that experiment himself.
Yeah.
And
I had a pretty intense one. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So people have these sensations of being, you know, the vibration or the tugging and pulling on these strings. And again, it's a personal experience for them. You just have to take their word for it. And so what we've decided to do as we, you know, continue with Parasense is we now take what I've come up with and we hand it over to Chad and see what Chad can do to validate these experiences. So we want to get to the point where we can hook up sensors that can read the tension in the strings. So we know that there is some data being collected there. And it's not just a psychological, you know, experience that, you are feeling something touching or something vibrating that string. There you go. Here's the data. And so that's how we work together. I come up with these raw experiments and he takes them and he turns them into science.
Wow. Is that a perfect match, you guys? But hopefully guys don't stay with me for another 3 years. It got worse than it though.
For sure.
It got worse than it though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so with Spectre 2.0, you think will be a 3.0?
Well, we're definitely adding more stuff to it. We've done some filming and have for a next one, and in that I've added a couple more things that what I want to do, I mean, I want to see what's going on in the room, but I want to know what's going on around the space,
Right? Because, remember, don't say too much.
No. The space around the space. And so we're adding a few more things in there so that we can detect that and more deeply understand all of the space around something happening.
Right. No, and we've gotten some amazing results just with that alone, too, with what he's added to the new Spectre system. So we're excited to share that information as well.
Wow. So there could be another documentary for that one, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we definitely, the research is not done. I still, you know, even though Chad is busy, you know, doing his science stuff, you know, I'm still out there coming up with more experiments and testing new things. So I'm not done. And whenever I have the opportunity to work with Chad, you know, I jump on it. So
Ross could do a whole Back to the Roots show.
No, it's great. You know, I wish I could, you know, utilize Chad more, but I know he's got, you know, his other gigs he's got to do. So that's hence the stalking, you know.
Well, I'm glad that you got the experience up on your first time. now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, no, you know, Parasense, The Naked Experiments is kind of just our origin story. You know, we wanted to let people know that this is where I come from, this is where Chad comes from, and this is how we come together. And now, you know, hopefully, you know, in the next one, people will see how our adventure continues and how we both learn from this and where we go.
Besides Bushy Mountain, do you guys go anywhere else with it?
Oh, we have been to, even since filming our first documentary, we have done a few other experiments, and we did one at a restaurant, a pizza restaurant.
And we took Lloyd Auerbach out on that one with us.
Yeah, yeah. So so there
oh,
is...
Yeah? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I would love to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's well respected and you know, a scientist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the whole, we wanted to go have him look what we're doing too. So if he would have saw what we were doing and been like, "You guys are doing us all wrong," I'm gonna like figure out what I'm doing wrong, right? But you know, to have him out and validate that what we were doing was also good work was like great, because that's one of the things in science too, is you want to peer review and share stuff with people that understand what it is, so they can, you know, have their, like, does this make any sense? And so it was good that Ross was friends with him, and we were able to go out and get that validation of our methods.
And also too, is to help build our credibility that he can witness how we do these investigations with this equipment and know we're not faking this. You know, this is not the magic of editing. This is not, you know, paid actors to scream and run away. You know, Chad's the real deal. I'm the real deal. These subjects are real people that decided to put themselves out there. They're not actors. And so to have, you know, Lloyd there to, you know, witness that as well is to help build our credibility.
Right. I can't wait to be in there. Oh God! Do you have a video?
Of what? Just of him?
Oh yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, the whole occasion with him. Did you get him to do an experiment or no?
He did. He did not do an experiment. No.
Oh, come on!
I know. He was just there to make sure we were doing it right.
Yeah. He just sat back and watched everything happen on the monitors and saw it as things happened. So
oh god, that was something else. Oh, Lordy.
I don't know. Are you willing to do it?
Me?
Yeah.
I have
done it. When I first started doing these experiments, I tested them out myself in on a haunted ship here in Washington. So there were a few things that I did try myself. So I have done a naked experiment. It just was not on camera.
All right. I like the puppet thing now. That'd be cool to do that. I really could do that. It kind of reminds you of Hellraiser.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the crazy thing about it, too, is, and you don't really appreciate it so much in the documentary, is when we're doing the experiments, it's like if you look at the lux meter on the side, it's like 0 and 1. So you can hardly see anything that's going on around you. You're alone. You're 300 and some odd feet on another floor away from these guys. And it's just you and hoping, you know. And the great thing about, and one thing we haven't talked about, is the naked thing. One of the things I thought was important about that is your skin's your largest organ, right? And so if you put yourself in those situations, you know, Ross was telling me, you know, your skin gets more sensitive. And it puts you into this like fight or flight mode where you're just listening, and it's dark. And so you're, it's almost like all your other senses pick up, and you're just like, what is that? You know? And that's one of the kind of the more exhilarating parts about it, is the fight or flight, that you're sitting in a super haunted place in the dark, you know?
Oh yeah.
Well, another thing is that if you can't see, I think other senses pick up then.
Right.
In that therapy. Yeah, sorry.
Well, it's part of our survival skills, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's the same thing with touch. If your whole mm-hmm. body is exposed, your whole body gets a little more, sensitive as to what's going on around you. You're using your body as a sensor in a way. And of course, too, besides just that, how your body operates when it's naked and exposed in this, strange environment, you also have to consider the fact that if you do get touched and unfortunately you're wearing clothes, it becomes contaminated evidence. And nobody in the scientific field or anybody who's a skeptic is going to take it as proof to the paranormal.
Because if you move a little bit, so you can feel like something,
Yeah, it could be your shirt, your jacket. And we really want to know what is happening when somebody is actually touched.
And it comes in different ways. It manifests differently too, right? Because so sometimes, the documentary, there's a bruise, or I've even seen other shows where there's been scrapes and what looks like burns and all kinds of stuff on people. And then there's things that come across your skin and it's just a cold sense in one area, or something comes across to you in a specific way and your body's like, that's not right. And so it manifests differently. And even like the scratch that I had received, that manifested in some different way because there was no feeling. What caught my attention was the sound. There was a sound associated with it right there, but there was no feeling. And the feeling came on a little bit later. It was weird because when Shannon was looking at it, she says that it's appearing like it's coming. It was weird, but we got to figure out what are all the different ways it can manifest. We saw on there that the PIR went off. So that suggested that there was a heat signature, that came off of it. And then in the experiments where we actually got scratched and you see there was something moving that we could pick up. Mm-hmm. And we don't know if you can't see it, was it a dense, clear object, or was it something that was thick, or was it because something was moving in some way that it moved? There's 1,000 questions based around just the data we got. Like, why did we get it? What does it even mean?
Yeah.
All right.
Can
you explain the data collector and how it lined up with Duke and Tosh?
Yeah, so what I did was, in order to be able to do this, you have to collect the data in real time. So it has to be time-stamped. Every collection point has to be time-stamped, date-stamped, all of that stuff, so that you can go back and look at it and you can cross-reference it. And so it made it easy with everything in the cameras being on and the time coming through. When whatever clip that was pulled out, they were able to say at this time, on this clip, this is what was, actually Morgan did even better than that. He just said in this clip from here to here, something happens in it. And I went through the data and found it. And then he lined up the two pieces and they fit together. So, that's how precise we can be. He can be at this time and this time something happened. I can go look at that chunk of data.
And also, I wasn't sure the name of the girl there. Do you also use the aura?
Oh, Shannon, the aura, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool too.
Yeah, that was one of the, I think, besides what we collected, having that also line up with things that was going on was amazing, because that's a separate, complete different point of I hate saying the word proof, evidence that something was happening at the same time. Because when I did my experiment at Rushing Mountain, the actual one, I felt like if you listen, the words are being pushed out of me because it was like so much pressure and so much going on. And then Shanna and Ross were down in the HQ area, and they could actually see like those black spots coming in and out when those things were happening. And that's also what prompted me to do the experiment upstairs when I got to scratch. Was we did the experiment that failed, and I said, well, now we're going to have to test this equipment, right, and make sure it's even working. And so we are testing there, sitting there, and I'm testing it, and
you started talking shit. Come on.
Ross told me, Ross told me I shouldn't do that. Like, he's like, don't antagonize. Don't right. do that.
But yeah, it was.
You yeah, there it was. I'm doing an experiment, so I can get away with it. Yeah.
You're sitting there naked and you're taunting these prisoners and had a good time for a long time and you're taunting them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So as I was doing that for that test, then we started seeing things happen and I got more and more aggressive. And that whole experiment actually lasted a little while. We were playing with it and it got more and more and more aggressive. And as I got more, things were happening and then boom, that thing happened.
So, and it's funny, as we talked about earlier, you know, sometimes it's just like a bolt of electricity hitting mm-hmm. the location. When, you know, Chad had talked about his experience of being scratched, you know, it almost, the best way you described it was almost like a static snap.
Yeah, right? Yeah, because it didn't, there was no feeling to it. So even the scratch, it happened itself. There was nothing I could feel. So whatever it was just that sound, and it happened.
Right.
So what was that?
That's kind of weird. I can't remember the place I was at that I was sitting there deep session, and I heard like a snap or slap, like a slap racist. So
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's basically how he described it as well.
Yeah, it's weird.
Ross once asked me, if I could find some kind of detectors that would pick up that kind of stuff. I won't say which one, Ross, but he's been thinking about that. And he asked me to, you know, if there was certain kinds of other detectors we could use to pick up it, maybe even detectors. I don't know if I could find, you know, for things. And so there's a lot of ideas. It's just doing the one documentary. We got some suggestions that will help us move forward to the next experiments, you know, but there's an enormous amount of stuff to do.
Oh yeah. And I've got hundreds and hundreds of experiments that I've, you know, tried in the past and, you know, I want to try in the future. And I know Chad's got some amazing ideas, tons and tons of amazing ideas. And it's just getting both of us focused on narrowing it down on how we want to proceed with the next step. Because there's a lot of interesting things happening out there. And unfortunately, there's not the right equipment out there to help us track it. So Chad has to build it. And, you know, it's really starting from the very beginning. That's the best way we have to do this.
Yeah. And when we're doing the other thing we talked about is we're adding more to it. In order to understand if some piece that we're looking for or data collection that we're doing doesn't make any sense to keep doing, we're adding while we're using the system. And then over time, that'll help us tune in and find the things that find the things, the anomalies. And then we can get rid of the stuff that doesn't matter. One of the things I thought was really interesting was the EMF sensors that were in the array. That where we were at Brushy, there's basically no cell service. There's no Wi-Fi out there. There's no disturbances out there. And I mean, you can see there's almost no movement at all of the EMF, no spike in it. And so I'm not saying I don't believe in EMF at all. I think I've watched it myself go off in times where I'm like, whoa. But I think it's kind of interesting in those instances where we capture data, that was absent. So mm-hmm. how many ways does this manifest? That's what you got to figure out.
Yeah. So you can't be dependent on EMF.
Or how close does things have to be for things to pick up? So it's just, even that blew my mind. I was more than expecting to pick up something on EMF. And then,
well, you know, it's another interesting thing as to why we believe that we had so much activity at the prison was there was just an electrical storm that went through that area.
Oh, that's perfect.
And according to...
that's perfect storm.
Yeah.
And according to Barry, I talked with Barry Taff a little bit. And according to him too, having running water, so there's water under and around the property, mm-hmm. all of those things kind of come together. And so that was one of his questions too. He's like, okay, so you had an electrical storm. Tell me about the property. And I told him, I was like, you know, there's a stream. And he's like, water, like things happen around water as well, you know. So Brushing Mountain seemed to line up really well.
it was great timing for us.
I love to get there. Is that in Tennessee?
Yes, Tennessee, right outside of Knoxville. I think it's like an hour out of Knoxville.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that. Mountains fun. I don't get too much anymore.
Well, now that Chad's kind of teased me with it, he may have some free time. I may have to get him out there to do some more filming. So a little excited about that. But one thing I didn't tell Chad, he doesn't know this yet, but we're actually up for another award.
Oh, what are we up for? Yes,
we've been entered in the International Paranormal Film Festival.
Whoa.
Yes, they really wanted it, and so I think it's probably going to come out with some hopefully high honors on that.
Wow,
so
that'd be pretty amazing. See, I learned something new all the time.
Chad, you want to talk a little bit about the EVP ear?
About what?
The EVP ear that you're doing.
Oh, well, what I'm doing, I can't say too much about it.
Right, I don't know, it's just...
But essentially what I want to do with the system, and it's pretty complicated from what I, because it's all right, it's requiring a lot. So when I was in radio, you know, you learn about a lot about how energy moves and transfers and flows and transmitting and all of that. And so I think it's actually going to be quite a physics experiment, a lot of trying to figure out how to exactly do what I want to do. But what I want to try to do is actually pick up and be able to tune picking up different ranges of interference. But that's the other thing too, is I got to figure out exactly what that interference is I'm looking for, and then bring it together and bring it out and test it and see if we can capture anything on any of the stuff we do.
That
gave you no answer.
No, I didn't want to see much things do, because I know it's not really... But it also goes through different hertz too, as you're going through, and that can be.
Yeah, the infrasound has always been a theory behind some of the EVPs. They thought that some EVPs travel within infrasound.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of something theorized. But yeah, I love hearing Chad talk, and I love to hear about his crazy ideas and how exciting it is when he actually makes them real.
Yeah. Thanks, Ross.
You know I love you, Chad.
Yeah, I mean, I've been extremely busy pretty much shortly after we shot the last Parasense, and so you never know with Ross. He's gonna give me.
Yeah. Okay, bro. It turns out we're exhausted, and we're going to call, hey, you want to go out this weekend?
Yeah. Hey.
No, he does love to get hit with a paranormal bug, because it's really cool when he actually gets out in the field, you know, get away from his world, you know, and get out in the paranormal field and, you know, explore and hit that, you know, sense of adventure. So I think he really enjoys that as well, because he really does, you know, love to get hit by the paranormal bug.
Yeah.
And I still like working in areas that are unknown and hard to think about, right? That's where I like thrive. I'm like, yes, that's all I want to do is think hard about things that hurt.
Yeah. This happened before, though, we guys come with. I mean, just what you came about for the last 3 years. Yeah. And how far you took it.
Yeah, well, really. You know, Parasense has been in the works for, you know, going on close to 8 years now.
Yeah.
You know, when we first started working on the project, I was, you know, already 6 years into it. And then Chad came in, and, you know, we had some crazy adventures there. And, you know, as I said, it's still a growing process. We don't have all the answers. And as, you know, he'll say, you know, when it comes to science, you still have to do a lot more digging, a lot more failures before you all have the successes you need. And the one thing with the paranormal world is it doesn't always happen on command. You know, you can't.
You have to have enough data to be able to build a mathematical model to explain what you're doing, right? Like a couple of data points, you're not going to get anything. So we need enough variables and enough data that we can actually build mathematical models to help us explain what it is and why whatever that thing happened is. Because, you know, we saw two things happen at once. So as far as we know right now, something densified and something heated up, right? But we don't also know, you know, maybe if we use some other things, we'd be able to figure out density. We'd be able to figure out all these different things if something's changing in the air. I've been looking at different ways to see the invisible world more clearly. And, you know, that's where we really got to start figuring out how many different data points can we plug together to say what it is. Because we have a density, it would bounce off of us. We give off heat, we're water, we're electricity, we're all of these different things. And so that's the kind of level we have to figure out, I think, at some point. Right.
And that's one of the reasons, you know, it goes back to why is there no such thing as a ghost meter? Even though there's a lot of people out there claiming they have a ghost meter, to develop a tool like that, you have to know what a ghost is made of. We don't know that yet. We're still exploring that.
Yeah.
So it's just scratching the surface right now with what we've done with Parasense.
All right. And I think over the years, my group was very fortunate to get the stuff we have. But there's times you go out, you don't get anything. But it's so fun to go out and do it. And I saw something on Facebook today that said about I go out there and have fun, and serious about it. And if you want to have fun, ride a freaking roller coaster. We always have fun going out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at times you sit down. Mr. Gerber, how was your weekend? You know, how's it going with it? You know, and a lot of times we're talking back and forth. Like we pick up voices talking between us.
Right.
We can pick stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as long as you go in there with no ill, you know, then they usually will talk to you.
Right. So, it's one of those things that it is a challenge to collect, you know, decent evidence to, you know, hopefully support the fact that there's something out there. And there's so many missed opportunities when so many people just want to do it, and I hate to say it, half ass, you know, because they're going in with the thrill of it all just to have mm-hmm. that experience rather than to try and validate their experience. So that's the biggest challenge we have in this field. And I've always said that there's far more lazy ghost hunters than there are ones that are really trying to have a better understanding of what is happening mm-hmm. out there. So we could get more of that, you know, evidence, then it'll help direct myself and Chad in how we need to pursue in collecting that data. But right now you have far too many people out there making up their experiences, far too many people, you know, submitting possible evidence, and it was just somebody in the background talking, you know, but they want to say it's an EVP and it's a ghost. So that, you know, mm-hmm. takes, you know, myself and Chad down a dead end because they believe it's true evidence when it's not. You know, we really need that true raw data to help direct us down the right path. And when you got far too many people muddying up the waters, it just makes it longer and harder for us to get where we need to go.
Right. And to this day, I curse Photoshop for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because some stuff be all, you know what I mean? But I mean, I went out there thinking, I'm not going to alter anything. Why do you do that? It makes your group look bad. And I was actually the founder of the group, and that's the first thing I said. I said, "You order anything? You're gone."
Well, a lot of it people don't understand is they do a lot of it. They fake a lot of this stuff for entertainment or for ratings or for subscribers. The YouTube channels are the worst because they make more money if they can get more subscribers. So they're under the pressure to get those subscribers. And, you know, Chad knows, he's done quite a few investigations now. You don't always have something happen. It can get boring for long periods of time. Yeah. And that's not going to keep people interested in what you're doing if everybody's bored, you know?
I mean, even if we did a time lapse through some of those hours, it would be a long time lapse. I mean,
it would.
If it happens, then you're like, yeah.
Well, that's like when I investigated. We had a DVR system with 8 cameras. I had 8 recorders sitting around. So it took me like 60 hours to go through all that stuff.
And I applaud you for doing that.
I enjoy it a lot, though.
Yeah, I applaud you for doing that because so many investigators out there will record 8 hours of evidence and never go back and listen to it or even watch it. And there's so many missed opportunities out there. If you're not gonna do that.
We did when we did the Fear show, we came to one of the, what is it you were doing in the underground?
The Spooked in Seattle tours?
Yeah, it was like a Spooked in Seattle and people were there and they were doing, and so we had audio running the entire time to see if we could pick up anything in the background. And going back, it recorded about an hour before we went in and they were doing, I don't remember, so long ago. Anyway.
Yeah, we recorded it in the underground, in the Seattle underground.
And then there was other stuff that was going on. So it sat there and recorded the whole time. And then I had to go back and listen to it all. And I thought I heard something. Because he was the girl. What was the little girl's name?
Oh, I don't think we had a name for it. We didn't have a name for the little girl.
Oh, she had but something happened. I thought I heard a name come across the thing. And I like went and looked at this audio, pulled it out. I got it all big and everything so you could hear it really well. I sent it to Ross. And Ross was like, no, something was going on at that time. I was like, oh, you know, but I had to listen to all those hours. And I thought I picked up one.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know.
And it's unfortunate to have to throw something like that away because, you know, whether or not there was a true EVP, you do have to discredit it when, unfortunately, you're not recording in a controlled environment. You know, and it's unfortunate, and that's where the biggest problem is in this field is a lot of these groups don't know how to produce a controlled environment. They don't know how to shut up when they're doing an EVP session, you know?
Right.
It's a lot of that, and then when they
whispers.
Think they do...
I hate whispering.
Yeah, they whisper, yeah. So
it's got to be a lot of time... You know, that's what the baseline stuff's about, is to get past all of that stuff and figure out what's going on in the space, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on an investigation once, and my own friend, he has a business he runs, so he has to go out, and sometimes I have to take his recorder for him and go over it. He had like 4 hours on there, and here, the dumbass was chewing gum.
You can just hear that going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I told him, oh God, I was so, I called him up and you different. I was upset, messing around because I love going around that stuff.
Yeah, and you'll get investigators that will wear really noisy clothing or shoes. Mm-hmm. And so they are constantly hearing the swiping of clothes rubbing against each other all the time as they're walking around, or their shoes are making a lot of noise. It's just...
Or another thing is sometimes our investigation is where a family wants to do something and somebody's wearing perfume.
Huh?
And I'm like, oh God, I personally can't stand perfume. I'm kind of actually allergic to it, I think.
It's funny. Actually, Chad had a pretty good experience when it comes to smell.
Yeah.
Hospital.
Oh, yeah, the hospital. There was like this, we did this experiment. It was over in Eastern Washington. And we did the experiments and we left the room and I went back into the room and it was just like a perfume, a really distinct perfume. And
it was
this
rose scented.
Yeah, rose scented. And this place was completely destroyed. The windows were broken. There's holes in the floor so big it looked like a horror movie on its own. And then you walk into this space that's basically outside, and it's just that rose smell. And then I was like, come here. And the other people came in and they could smell it too. And it was like, what was that? How did that happen?
Yeah. And we had been there all day and all never day. Smelled
we
did, it.
We had just done experiments in there. We went to go do a set of experiments in another room and coming back to get a piece of wire or equipment or something. And then it was like totally different smell.
No, yeah, I was at a place operating that had we had the basement of a historical museum and that I got some lilacs.
Lilacs,
yeah. Smell, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, it's kind of interesting, too, because we always find that a lot of times when Chad is alone, he'll tend to have some interesting experiences.
Well, we were together the one time in over at the brothel in the documentary, and it was funny because some people won't come upstairs there. They just stay downstairs. They know something's up there. The whole town does. You can go to the bar and hear stories and stories and stories. And Ross and I were packing and moving a table at the top of the stairs, and a woman pops in and said hi to the spirit. What I forgot her name. What's her name, Ross?
Oh,
it doesn't matter. Anyway, said hi, and Ross and I both heard a knock, knock, knock noise, right? And we were both like, you hear that? And I walked around, and Ross also walked around. We knocked on wood and stuff in there, and nothing. The table, a chair, the wall, nothing sounded like that. What was that?
All right. Was it Dolores or something like that?
I know. See, we gotta watch.
It's right. It's right there. I. So yes, it's pretty cool when you have those experiences, but then it's also a missed opportunity for us when, you know, we could have hopefully captured some data.
All right.
I think my favorite though is the door shutting by itself.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So how much time do we have left?
Well, we're good to go if you're ready.
Wow, that moved. Off. Yeah, that moved. Wow. We did it.
You guys are so much fun, I guess. We got to come back on again.
Definitely. Yeah. We're more than happy to keep you up to date with what we're doing. You know, we appreciate fans of the show, you know, spreading word on Parasense. Yeah, you know, it's our first documentary, you know, and it's you know, unfortunately, as your first, you know, we kind of have to do all the work to promote and get it out there. And then when they see that does really well, you know, then they'll say, hey, your first documentary did really well. Let's talk about your second one. Yeah, let's see if we can get a better deal.
I'll go ahead and put all the, link to Amazon so people can go get it. And I'll write reviews. Gotta write reviews. That's how you guys get.
Yeah, reviews are really helpful for us. It really does help get it attached to other searches. So if anybody's searching for just, you know, ghost documentary, if it has more reviews, it'll be filtered out more. So it definitely does help. If anybody does watch it, please, you know, post a review. And we truly hope, you know, people enjoy it. You know, we've gotten nothing but, you know, positive, you know, reviews on it. I think the only negative review we got was because the naked people were censored. Yes. One guy gave us a bad review because it was like, these people, you can't see anything. They're all censored. I'm like,
oh, do it. Yeah.
So they were obviously watching it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow.
So I always encourage people, you know, do check out Parasense if you get a chance. You know, you can also, if you want to learn more about me, you can always go to my Facebook page, Ross Allison Ghost Hunter. I'm usually really good at keeping that up to date. And also, I'll do live investigations from places I'm visiting. I don't know, Chad, how do people find you?
The easiest way to find me, and I actually posted some stuff that was around the scenes of filming, and that's on my Instagram at the Parascientist.
Cool.
Okay, cool. And this show will be available on Spotify, iHeart, Amazon. So if you're fishing, this too.
Nice.
Cool. Awesome. Man. Well, guys, that's it. Awesome to have you guys on. My pleasure. How you on? And I'll have you guys back again. It's so much fun with you guys. Yeah.
Well, cool.
Probably got to be Chad.
Yeah, thank you for having and thank you for reaching out. That was really cool on LinkedIn. I was like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah. I'm not LinkedIn that much, really. And I saw you down there. Well, I saw the person said, hey, that's him. Let's see how you him. I never thought I'd get you on, really. I thought you'd be too busy.
Chad's so. Still waiting for his huge female fan base.
No, but I told them
they keep writing me. They don't write him. They write me. It's like, Ross, is there an uncensored version of Chad? I charge for that.
Yeah, he reached out to me, Ross. After he reached out, I was like, we got to get Ross on. And he was like, okay, I'll get Ross.
Say, Dark Bills, y'all, Dark Bills.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we got to make both those things happen. Yeah.
There was no place to tuck the bills in there. Where are you going to put the bills?
Oh, it's behind him. That's where you tuck them.
I'm awful. But wait, I'll tell you that. See you Oh, Lordy. Well, thanks to you guys. And I'll get back on again. And so, signing off. Happy hunting, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Take care.